Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I want to read one verse of scripture this morning. I want to read verse 8 to you today from Colossians chapter 2. Would you join me in standing as I read from God's word today? These are words that were penned by the Apostle Paul. They were written to the church at Colossae. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. But there was a very serious thing that was happening in the church. There were those who were false teachers who were trying to lead astray those who were believers in Christ. And listen to what Paul said. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. My message this morning to you is simply this: beware of the kidnappers. There are those who want to kidnap God's children. Would you pray with me? Father, today, thank you for bringing us to this place. God, I'm very grateful for all that we have already experienced here on these grounds. Lord, from our connection group time to our worship time, the music that we've enjoyed and participated in. But God, you have brought us to this very moment right now. And God, we are standing before your holy word and in need of your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And I pray, God, that you will help me as I stand here to speak your word to these people. God, guard my heart, my mind, guide my thoughts, Lord, in the words that I will say. And I pray, God, that tonight, this morning, that there will be a strong word coming from you, that we would be on the alert, because we're living in dangerous days where there are people who would like to deceive us and draw us away. Father, there are parents and grandparents in this room who have children and grandchildren that you have placed in their hands to raise them in a godly way. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to the heart of everyone, not only the parents, but also the children and grandchildren today. So Lord, help us to hear what you have to say to us. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I was startled when I read that approximately 840,000 children are reported missing every year in the United States of America. 840,000. According to the FBI report, for every 40 seconds, a child goes missing or is abducted in the United States of America. And I know this morning I'm speaking to a lot of parents and grandparents, and I think you would probably agree with me that having your child kidnapped or abducted is your worst nightmare. The thing that you dread and ever hearing would be that kind of a kidnapping. I remember growing up in the Midwest, and I remember that every newscast for quite a while began like this. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Some of y'all remember that. We also know that today, that whenever a child goes missing, there is what is called an Amber Alert. I did not know this until I began researching it, but the word Amber is actually an acrostic. AMBER, A-M-B-E-R, actually stands for America's Missing Broadcast Emergency Response. But also, it's not only an acrostic, but AMBER Alert, the word AMBER, or the name AMBER, is also the name of a girl by the name of Amber Hagerman, who was a 9-year-old girl who was kidnapped in Arlington, Texas, while she was riding her bicycle And in 1996, when they found her, she had been brutally murdered. I will never think of Amber Alert in the way that I used to. Now that I know a little bit about it, it's about a little girl who was kidnapped. I say all that this morning to say this to you. There is someone who wants to kidnap God's people. I believe that Satan himself is the greatest kidnapper in all the world. He wants to take your children, your grandchildren. He even wants to take you as adults today. He wants to kidnap you. He wants to abduct you. He wants to take you away from the Lord Jesus Christ and away from the church of Jesus Christ. Kidnapping is a big problem. And that's really why Paul was writing to the church at Colossae. Because there were some false teachers in the area, and they were feeding upon the church of Christ there in Colossae, and they were kidnapping them away from the house of God. In my preaching through all the different books of the Bible in 2021, I've come to this book called Colossians. And whenever I began to study it, it began to dawn upon me that Colossians is actually Paul's Amber Alert to the church there at Colossae. There's an interesting thing, or several interesting things, if you will, about Colossae. Number one, Paul never went to Colossae. He never visited the church at Colossae. That's why we have Colossians. That's interesting, is it not? Because he went to Corinth. He went to Galatia, he went to Ephesus, but yet he never went to Colossae. We know that because in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Paul had never seen them, and they had never seen him. Paul did not found or establish the church in Colossae. It is believed that it was established by a man by the name of Epaphras. Chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "You also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." But although Paul had never been there, he had heard what was going on there. And what was going on there was there were some kidnappers. There were some false teachers. I know I'm kind of all over the place in Colossians, so I want to encourage you to keep your Bible open there. But if you still have your Bible there, look in chapter 2, verse 4. I read verse 8, but look back at verse 4 and listen to what Paul said. "And this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words." Lest any man beguile you with enticing words. Beguile means to deceive by false reasoning. Enticing words means to use persuasive speech. That is, there were wolves who had descended upon the flock of God. It's like a kidnapper had come along, and for the church and believers at Colossae, he had some cotton candy, if you will, that he was giving it to the children and said, "If you will follow me, then this will taste good and you will like it." And they were being taken away from the house of God. That's the background. That's why. In verse 8, Paul says, "Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." I've come to sound an alarm today. I've come to give you a warning today, because we are living in a day when children are being kidnapped, sometimes right under our noses. Some of them are being kidnapped in the public school. Some of them are being kidnapped in the churches that they attend. Some of them are being kidnapped in your very house, right underneath your own nose, while they watch their television, or as they look at their telephone. Beware the kidnappers. I want you to look at verse 8 with me in Colossians chapter 2 today. And I want to give you, first of all, what I call the caution of kidnapping. It's a very strong word. Paul sounds an alarm and he uses that word, beware. It is a Greek word that simply means see to it. The Christian Standard Bible says, be careful. The Message, which is a paraphrase and not a translation, says, watch out. Beware. I don't have to define beware to you. You know what beware means, right? Yep. You walk up to a house, they have a fence around their yard, and there's a sign there that says, beware of dog. You know what that means. I know what that means. That means whoever my visitation partner is, I say to them, you go ahead. You're young and tender. I'm old and callous. That dog won't like me. You know what it means, right? I mean, there's danger ahead. Beware of the dog. You know what it means. You drive down the highway and you see a big, large chain link fence, and on the other side, you see equipment that you may not know all that it is, but there's a sign on that fence that says, beware, high voltage. You know what that means. So whenever I come to this word of Scripture, you need to understand, it's a strong word. It is a word that gets your attention. There, it is a word that means there is something that's about to be said that's going to warn you of danger. It's a word that's common in your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Oh, it would be a dangerous thing. It would be a terrible thing if you were to forget the Lord. And by the way, that's a challenge we have at Christmas time. I told you I'm not preaching a Christmas series, but every time I get an opportunity, I'm going to talk about it. Because the danger is that in all the wrappings of Christmas, that Christ can get lost. And you forget what it's all about. And that's why I think it's important for us to say to ourselves over and over again, Christmas is a celebration of the birthday of Jesus Christ. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were those who were the religious people, but they were not righteous people. They were going through the motions, but yet they did not have a relationship with Christ. And so Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. So he sounds the alarm, beware. But also Paul states the aim of the kidnappers. He said, beware lest any man should spoil you. That word spoil is a Greek word that means to take captive. Beware, because somebody wants to take you captive. Kidnappers do not set people free. Kidnappers put people in shackles and enslaves them. That's what the word spoil means. The word spoil is a word that really has its roots in an army going over and fighting against an enemy. And after they have won the battle, they carry back the spoils, the gold, the silver, the jewels, the people, the animals. That's where we get that little phrase that we sometimes hear, to the victor goes the spoils. He said, beware lest somebody would spoil you, lest somebody take you captive. In the classical Greek language, it is a word that literally means kidnap. Beware lest any man should kidnap you. Paul is saying, watch out. Paul is saying, beware of the kidnappers. Oh, listen, there are those of you in this room, you do everything you can to protect your children physically. Oh, I remember those days whenever they're small, especially, and you childproof your house, right? I'm not talking over your head, am I right now? You child-proof your house because you want to protect your child. I don't remember how many times I used to go to the kitchen cabinet and go to open the door, and it will not open because we had child-proofed it. But I want to tell you, that's a good thing. But if you protect your children physically, but you don't protect them spiritually, then you're not going to do everything that you ought to do as a parent. Read them the Word of God. Bring them to the house of God. Make sure that they're being taught the truth of Scripture. Because there are people who want to kidnap their mind, abduct their heart, and drag their soul to hell. So beware of the kidnapper. There's a second thing I want you to see found still in verse 8, and that is he also talks about the culprit of kidnapping in the middle part of the second part of verse 8. Paul lists four culprits, as I call them today, and I want to talk briefly about them, and then I want to summarize a little bit about what was happening in Colossae. Here's the four culprits. You've had your Bible open there, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. You'll see them. Number one, he talks about philosophy. What is philosophy? Philosophy is the love of wisdom. Love of wisdom. Philosophy is talking about human reasoning. Philosophy is talking about intellectualism. As a matter of fact, whenever you read that word philosophy here in my King James translation, this is the only time the word philosophy is found in the Bible. The word philosophy is a word that's trying to answer questions like, what is God like? It is trying to answer questions like, where did life begin? It is trying to answer questions that philosophy cannot answer. On Wednesday nights, I've been preaching through the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. The only book that is qualified to tell you what God is like and how life began is the book of Genesis found in the Word of God. Philosophers do not know because they were not there. But God was, and God wrote it down. So he said also, so beware of philosophy. Secondly, he talks about vain deceit. Now, vain deceit, that's two words, so we say two things. What does the word vain mean? Well, the word vain means empty. You remember I think last Sunday morning, perhaps I talked a little bit about Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he would say, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, is a word that means empty, or a word that means to be hollow. Beware of vain, empty deceit. Deceit means fraud or something that's false. That is what he's saying is be careful, because there are teachings that are not everything that they seem to be. There are teachings that are nothing more than empty lies. Beware, a culprit, philosophy, vain deceit. Number three, the traditions of men. Traditions of men. Traditions are things that are handed down from one generation to another. And to be perfectly honest with you this morning, some traditions are good. We have some traditions at my house that I think are good. You probably have some traditions at your house that are good. I can tell you, on Christmas morning, before anybody tears into a package, the first thing we do is we open up our Bible and to the second chapter of the book of Luke, and we read the Christmas story. That's a tradition at our house. That's a good thing. There are good traditions, but there are bad traditions. There are some traditions we don't even know where they came from. I've told the story about the young couple, they got married, and the young wife, the first time she decided she'd fix a ham for lunch, she bought a little ham, went to put it in the oven, she cut off one end, she cut off the other end, she put it in the pan and baked that ham. Her husband stood by and watched and said, "Why did you cut the ends off the ham?" She said, "I don't know. My mama always cut off the ends of her ham, so I cut off mine. He said, okay. Well, they go next, they go to the in-laws, of course, not long, and mother-in-law's fixing a ham. She cut off one end, she cut off the other end, put it in the oven to cook it. And he said to his mother-in-law, he said, why did you cut off the ends of the ham? She said, I don't know. My mother always cut off the ends of the ham before she cooked it. Oh, you know where this is going. They finally get to grandma's house. And grandma went to cook a ham. She cut off one end of the ham. She cut off the other. She put it in there and she went to bake it. He stood up to her and said, now, you cut off the ends of the ham. Why do you do that? She said, well, I've never had a pan quite big enough for the ham. Some traditions are not all that good. And so what he's saying here is that you need to be careful of traditions of men that are handed down from one generation to another. And number four, I must hurry, he also talks about the rudiments of the world. Rudiments mean elementary teachings. Things like the ABCs, elementary teachings, rudiments, the basics of life. Rudiments of the world there talking about a world system of evil that is controlled by Satan. That is, he said, there are some things that the world is teaching you, elementary things. And by the way, I cannot read that without also saying to you today that some of your children they're trying to kidnap them while they're still in elementary school, learning just the basics of life. And so he said, here are the culprits that you need to watch out for. Now, when you study the book of Colossians, and I just have to summarize this for you, those four things can actually be summarized in two words. The first word is Gnosticism. That is, whenever we talk about philosophy and we talk about vain deceit, he's talking about Gnosticism. Now, those who were Gnostics in the ancient day were people who, the word means to know, right? A Gnostic is somebody who says, I know something. And the Gnostics get very proud because they're saying, I know something that you don't know. I'm smarter than you are. You know, an agnostic is somebody who does not know. We talk, you know, even atheists today, they don't prefer to be called atheists anymore. They'd rather be called an agnostic. An agnostic says, I don't know. Well, if there is a God, I don't know. So a Gnostic is somebody who does know. And so there were some in the church at Colossae who were saying, I know some things that you don't know. And I just have to leave it at that. I don't have time to go into all that. But the second word is not only Gnosticism was there in the church, but also legalism in the church. Though legalism simply means that in the church, there were some who were saying to believers in Christ, you believed in Jesus Christ, that's good, but you need more. You need to obey the Old Testament law. You need to observe the Sabbath day. You need to celebrate the feast days. You need to submit to the rite of circumcision. So they were adding legalism to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were adding things, and by having Gnosticism and legalism, they were trying to draw them away to follow after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world. And that's why Paul picked up the pen and writes to these believers in Christ and said, you need to beware. Because these folks are trying to kidnap you and they're going to drag you away from the truth of the gospel. Let me try to bring this home to you. I remember back in the 1980s, I was listening to a preacher by the name of Adrian Rogers. Some of y'all remember that name? Dr. Adrian Rogers, Prince of Preachers, great man of God. But he was preaching a sermon, and the reason why I thought of that when I was preparing this message, because he had a message. He had basically the same title what I'm using today, Beware the Kidnappers. And back in the 1980s, he preached that sermon. His text was Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 27, and he was talking about a man by the name of Moses. If I get there, I might talk about that this morning. But he was talking about Moses, and he was talking about how we need to beware of the kidnappers. And Dr. Rogers had four things that he said to us in the 1980s that we need to be aware of. Would you like to know what they were? Well, whether you do or not, I'm going to tell you. When he said, beware the kidnappers, I want you to listen to the four things that he said to beware. And I want every parent and every grandparent, I want you to perk up your ears and listen to what he said. He said, number one, he said, beware of liberalism in the church. Liberalism is the great enemy of the church. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean by liberalism in the church? I would say it means at least two things, maybe probably more than that, but it means at least two things. Liberalism in the church, first of all, begins to doubt the Word of God. That is, they put a question mark over the Word of God and say things like it is an ancient book and we live in a modern world, and they did not know some of the things that we know today, and so they began to doubt the Word of God. And then secondly, liberalism not only means doubting the Word of God, it also means to come to the point that you begin to deny the Son of God. That is, Jesus is not who the Bible says he is. That Jesus is not divine. That Jesus is not born of a virgin. That Jesus did not live a perfect life. And begin to have question marks about the Word of God. Whenever I think about that, I'm reminded of what Paul said to the church at Ephesus when he got ready to leave in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. Listen to what he said. After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I wish I had more time today, but I'm going to tell you, there are some things happening in the modern church that are very concerning to me. And it fits in at this particular point. And I would simply say, I know people move around in churches today. There are people who have come to our church from other churches, and there are people who have gone from our church to another church. But I want to say this to you today. Whenever, whatever church you belong to, you make sure that you belong to a Bible-believing church. You make sure that you belong to a Christ-honoring church. You make sure that you're a part of a Spirit-filled church. You make sure that you go to a soul-winning church, because you need to be aware there is liberalism in the church of Jesus Christ today. Dr. Rogers said, beware of liberalism in the church. Listen to this. He also said, beware of humanism in the school. What is humanism? Well, the American Humanist Association defines humanism like this. It says, humanism is a progressive philosophy of life without theism or other supernatural beliefs, and affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good. Humanism is nothing more than atheism, is what it is. It's atheism. The Humanist Manifesto, the first one was adopted in 1933. There have been two others in 73 and 93, again in the 1900s. But the Humanist Manifesto has 15 affirmations, and the number one affirmation is this: religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. And what that simply means is humanism is creating a world where there is no God. That's why, as I've said on these Wednesday nights preaching through Genesis, particularly chapter 1 and chapter 2 on creation, is that humanism simply says we want to get rid of the idea of God, and we want to get rid of the idea of creation. Therefore, that's why evolution is taught in our public schools today. And whenever you think about people who are humanists, there are people who are in our government, There are people who are politicians, there are people who are businessmen, there are people who are celebrities, they are humanists, and they're teaching our children and our grandchildren, and we need to beware of humanism in the school. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in creation. They don't believe in Scripture. They don't believe in eternity. A Howard University professor of psychiatry was speaking to the Childhood Education Seminar in 1973, and I want you to hear what he said. I quote, "Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward belief in a supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity." He's speaking to teachers. He said, "It is up to you, teachers, to make all of these sick children well by creating the international child of the future." That was 1973. And what he was saying has happened all across our country today. Now let me say this right quick. I thank God for Christian school teachers who are on the mission field trying to make a difference for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they are going against the grain because what they're being taught is teach these children to become humanists who do not believe in God, who do not believe in creation, who do not believe in eternity. And we're seeing that everywhere that we went. Every year, the humanist society elects somebody who is the humanist of the year. And the humanist of the year for 2021 was presented in July to Dr. Anthony Fauci. There are humanists all over this country. And I'm simply saying to you today, beware of humanism in the school. Thirdly, Dr. Rogers said this. He said, beware of paganism in the world. Beware of paganism in the world. By the way, paganism is any religion other than biblical Christianity. Islam is paganism. Buddhism is paganism. Confucianism is paganism. Hinduism is paganism. Atheism is paganism. The world is very religious, but it's lost. We live in a lost world. Do you know that? And it's growing more and more lost every day. That's why it's so important that you and I be the light of the world in a darkening world, that we be salt in the world in a decaying world. That's why we need to do things like we're doing this week with the living nativity. We need to say to a lost and dying world, God loved the world and sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world, because we're living in a paganistic world. Paul, whenever he came to Athens and he came to Mars Hill, you may recall, he said, "I see that in all things you are too superstitious." That, and the word means you're very religious. Beware of paganism in the world. And then one more, and don't tune me out yet. Beware of materialism in the home. Technology is the pipeline into your home. Your television is the pipeline into your home. We are living in the day when there is more sewage being pumped into your home than is being pumped out of your home. That's the world that we live in today. The movies that are on your television, the advertisements are on your television. They're all materialistic, ungodly. The internet that you have in your home, the computer that is there, the cell phone that is there. I'm gonna tell you, the modern family today can hardly carry on a conversation because we're all sitting around looking at our phone. We don't even know how to talk to one another. We have materialism in our home. And by the way, while you're sitting there watching the evening news, the devil is kidnapping your children on your internet, on your computer, on your telephone, on your television. Beware of the kidnappers. Let me say one last thing. And that is, finally, when you come to the end of verse 8, Paul gives us what I think is the cause of the kidnapping. And it's really pretty simple. He said, this is the source, this is the cause. He says, notice these words, the latter part of verse 8, he said, they're not after Christ. They're not based on Christ. They're not centered around Christ. He was saying to the Colossians, Gnosticism is not after Christ. He was saying to the Colossians, legalism is not after Christ. I'm saying to you today that many of the things that are going on in the world that we live in are not after Christ. And if you're not careful, they're going to kidnap your children. Listen, the fundamental question of every teaching in the world today is this: what does it teach about Christ? What does it say about Jesus? Does it deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Does it deny the virtuous life of Jesus Christ? Does it deny the vicarious death of Jesus Christ? Does it deny the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ? What does it say about Jesus Christ? And my dear friend, if whatever teaching you're listening to, if whatever book you're reading after, if whatever movie that you're watching, if whatever school your kids are in, if it's not after Christ, you have no business messing with it as a child of God. That's the call. It's not after Christ. So how do we keep our children from getting kidnapped? I would say two simple things. And this is an oversimplification. I understand that. Two simple things. But number one is this. I'm going to talk to the adults for just a moment. Number one is you need to teach your children the Word of God. You need to teach them at home. You need to bring them to church. I believe every parent who's a member of Westside Baptist Church, you ought to have your kids here every Sunday morning. You ought to have them here every Wednesday night. You need to teach them the Word of God. And then number two, I would say this to all of the children or grandchildren who might be in this room today. Here's what I'm going to say to you. You need to embrace as your own the teachings of this book. Here's what I mean by that. You cannot ride into heaven on grandma and grandpa's religion. Somebody said, God has no grandchildren, only children. And it's not enough for you to say, well, that's what mom and dad believe, or that's what my grandparents believe. It's what do you believe? You have to embrace it as your own. And by the way, I think one of the reasons why in the modern church we have so many young people who, once they graduate high school and they get out in the world, you no longer see them at church anymore, is because they never embraced it as their own. It's what everybody else said, but it wasn't necessarily what they believed. And probably the reason why they didn't believe it was because they were being kidnapped at school. They had them 5 days a week. You had them on the weekend, but their minds and their hearts were kidnapped by philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men carried them away. I'm thinking of two stories, and I know my time is done, but I'm thinking of two stories today. One of them's they're both in the Old Testament, and they give us a good example. I'm thinking, first of all, Dr. Rogers talked about this man by the name of Moses. The Bible says that whenever, you know his story, that when he was just a baby boy, they were going to kill all the babies. Remember, they built a little ark, put him in the Nile River. But the Bible says that whenever he was just a baby boy, he was taken by his mom and by his parents, and he was taught the Word of God. The Bible says by faith, his parents had a child. They had a baby boy. They taught little Moses the Word of God. You could almost say, but he was kidnapped by Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, it was part of God's plan, but he went into Pharaoh's household, was raised in the ways of Pharaoh and all the religions of the Egyptians. But the Bible says when he came of age, he began to esteem, and the Bible says he made a choice, and the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What happened was Moses' parents did their part, and Moses did his part, They taught him the Word of God, and he accepted it as at home, as his own, made a difference in his life. There's one other. Let me tell you this. There's also in your Bible the story of a man with the name of Daniel, and he had three friends. Remember them? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says they were raised up in Jerusalem, and while they were being raised up in Jerusalem, they were taught about the living God, the one and only true God. And the Bible says there came a day when a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar came down from Babylon and kidnapped them, took them back to Babylon, and he tried to make them become like the Babylonians. And the Bible says they would not do it. You recall the story, do you not? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he built a big statue and said, everybody's going to bow down to that statue. They said, we're not going to bow down to that statue. And he said, well, they're going to throw you into a fiery furnace, and we're going to heat it up 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated up. And they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they were standing on the Word of God, put them inside that fire. And finally, when Nebuchadnezzar standing outside there, said, didn't we throw 3 men in the fire? But I see 4 men walking, and one of them looks like the Son of God. What happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believed, they were taught it whenever they were boys by their parents, and then they believed it as their own. And you call the story. This is old Daniel. Remember Daniel? Daniel also taught the Word of God, kidnapped over into Babylon, and the Bible says they made a decree and said, nobody can pray but anybody except to the king. And what did Daniel do? He went to his room. He opened up the window like he had always done, faced toward Jerusalem, and he began to pray. And somebody ratted on him, and they took him, and they threw him in a den of lions. And the Bible says God then caused all those lions to get lockjaw, and none of them bit him. I mean, he survived it all. I read those two stories. Here's what I'm simply saying. Here was, they were learned the Word of God. They were taught the Word of God by their family, by their parents, and they embraced it as their own. If you are not going to be kidnapped, if your children are not going to be kidnapped by the devil and all the false philosophies of our world, number one, you need to teach them the Word of God. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about creation. Don't back up on the Word of God. Stand firm on the Word of God. Teach them the truth of the Scripture. And then I would say, number two, you children and you grandchildren who are growing up, you need to embrace it as your own. You need to say, that's not just my parents' religion. That's what I believe, and I'm giving my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying to you today, beware the kidnappers, because they will draw you away from Jesus Christ, and they will drag you to a Christless eternity. So the best thing you'll ever do is what I did when I was a 7-year-old boy. I gave my heart to Jesus. If you've never done that, do it today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for prayer? In this room today, there are some people that have never given their heart to Jesus. I don't mean you're a bad person. I mean, you may even be a member of the church, but you've never given your heart to Christ. You may be very religious. You may have good morals. But the truth is, you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sin and be your Savior. Why don't you make this the day that you settle this once and for all? And you say, I'm taking my stand. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. There may be some young person here today. And you say, you know, I've been taught that all my life, but I've never embraced it as my own. And today, that's what I believe. I'm committing my heart to Jesus Christ. There may be somebody here in this room today. Maybe you've been visiting this church. You're not a member of this church, but you're looking for a church that believes the Bible and believes that Jesus is God's Son. Believe He's the only way to heaven. And you want to become a part of this fellowship. I want to invite you to come today. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your presence today. Lord, I pray that right now during this time of invitation, that you have our undivided attention, that that word beware is just resonating in our hearts. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand today the battle that we're involved in. And there are people, sometimes even in the church, who would drag us away from you and the truth of your word. So Lord, help us to discern what is truth and what is error. And Lord, help us to always take our stand upon the truth. So Lord, please speak today. Have your way in every life. I pray for folks in this room today who you've spoken to them many times before, and they've thought about coming and making some commitment to you, but they've never done it. But may today be the day. Help us to yield to you. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.